You're listening to Eagle Wings Online Radio, your messianic Christian music alternative.
Like what we do? Share this on your socials and tell everyone.
We hope you get blessed by this narrated sermon podcast from Pastor Chris.
Title: Dance Before the Lord. Topic: Before the Throne of God. Order: Praise and Worship. Praising God and worshiping God is a personal action, an action of giving your all to God in adoration to Him who is loved and who loves us. It is a personal sacrifice brought to a personal God and King. When we talk about dancing before the Lord, we are not just talking about physical movement. We speak about the posture of the heart before the throne of God. Every raised hand, every bowed head, every step, every song, every silent tear tells a story of surrender. Praise is our loud declaration of who God is. Worship is our deep response to who He is in our innermost being. And both praise and worship are never random. They reflect a God of order, holiness, and covenant love. In our modern culture, worship often drifts into what I like, what feels good, or what fits my mood. Yet Scripture shows us a very different picture. Worship is not consumer entertainment. It is sacrificial offering. It is not centered on our preferences. It is centered on His presence. God is not casual about how He is approached, and the Word of God reveals that He is a God of order, not chaos. We see in the Old Testament that God demanded sacrifice done in order. Genesis chapter 22, verse 9, King James Version. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Notice that the Holy Spirit, through Moses, makes a point of saying that Abraham laid the wood in order. Even in this ultimate test of obedience, where Abraham is asked to offer up his promised son, there is order. The altar is built. The wood is arranged. Isaac is bound. Nothing is sloppy, careless, or random. Abraham approaches God with holy fear, with deliberate steps, and with an ordered sacrifice. This is a picture of worship, giving your all in obedience, according to God's pattern and not your own. Order in the Old Testament worship system. Repeatedly in the Old Testament, God commanded people to do things orderly. Worship was never however you feel like it today. It followed God's instruction, God's timing, and God's pattern. Exodus chapter 40, verse 4, King James Version. And thou shalt bring in the table, and set in order the things that are to be set in order upon it. And thou shalt bring in the candlestick, and light the lamps thereof. In the tabernacle, every object had its place, every vessel its assignment. The bread of the presence, the lamps, the incense, nothing was left to personal taste. The priests could not rearrange the furniture of God's house to suit themselves. They were stewards, not decorators. In the same way, our worship is not rearranging spiritual furniture to our liking. It is aligning our lives with God's revealed order. Leviticus chapter 1, verse 7 to verse 8 and verse 12. And the sons of Aaron the priest shall put fire upon the altar, and lay the wood in order upon the fire. And the priests, Aaron's sons, shall lay the parts, the head and the fat, in order upon the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar. And he shall cut it into his pieces, with his head and his fat. And the priest shall lay them in order, on the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar. Leviticus chapter 6, verse 12. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. Leviticus chapter 24, verse 8. Every Sabbath he shall set it in order before the Lord continually, being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant. Over and over, we read the phrase, in order, the wood in order, the parts in order, the fire kept burning, the bread set in order every Sabbath. This shows us that worship involves consistency and discipline, not spiritual laziness. To dance before the Lord as David did, to rejoice before him with freedom, does not cancel order. It flows out of order. The fire on the altar of our hearts does not stay burning by accident. It is tended every morning in order by deliberate choices to seek him, to repent, to obey, and to honor his covenant. This theme of order is not limited to the Old Testament. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the same God revealed in Messiah Yeshua. He has not changed. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 30 to verse 40, King James Version. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. What? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. In Corinth, the gifts of the Spirit were active: prophecy, tongues, interpretation. Yet Paul does not say, do whatever you feel, the Spirit will sort it out. Instead, he explains that the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. In other words, genuine spiritual manifestation does not override self-control. The Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, does not bring confusion. He brings peace and order. Verse by verse, Paul guards both freedom and structure. Covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak with tongues. Yet, let all things be done decently and in order. So, our worship services are not meant to be chaotic free-for-alls, nor are they to be cold, lifeless rituals. They reflect a living God who is both consuming fire and perfect order. In a messianic context, this balance matters even more as we honor the Jewish roots of our faith, the pattern of the tabernacle, and the teaching of the apostolic writings. Titus chapter 1, verse 4 to verse 9, King James Version. To Titus, mine own son after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless, as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word, as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. order in the church. Paul teaches us in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40, to do things decently and in order. The Apostle Paul instructs Pastor Titus in Titus chapter 1, verse 5, to set in order in the churches of Crete the things that are lacking and ordain elders in every city. Paul, writing to Pastor Timothy in 1 Timothy, gives an instruction manual for order in the churches. Leadership itself is part of God's order. Elders, bishops, pastors are not human inventions. They are God's design for shepherding His flock. Qualified leaders, blameless, faithful in marriage, self-controlled, hospitable, sound in doctrine, guard the congregation from chaos, false teaching, and spiritual abuse. When leadership is aligned with God's order, worship becomes a safe place for the people of God to meet with Him, including expressive praise, prophetic utterance, and yes, even dancing before the Lord. Chaos. Judges chapter 21, verse 25, King James Version. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Chaos in personal lives, local and federal government, often mirrors spiritual chaos in the heart. When there is no God, there is no king. When people reject the rightful rule of God, everyone becomes their own authority. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes is not a description of freedom. It is a diagnosis of rebellion. When there is no submission to the King of Kings, we see confusion in morality, confusion in identity, confusion in worship. A real king is anointed by God. Ultimately, our real king is Messiah Yeshua, the Anointed One. When our worship loses sight of Him, it slides into entertainment or idolatry. But when Yeshua is enthroned in our hearts, our praise gains focus, our dance gains purpose, and our lives gain order, from chaos to the ark of His presence. Now we come to a powerful illustration in the life of David, the man after God's own heart. 2 Samuel chapter 6, Amplified Bible. Again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And he arose and went with all the people who were with him to Baali-Judah, Kiriath-Jearim, to bring up from there the Ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord of Hosts, who sits enthroned above the cherubim. And they set the Ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. And Uzzah and Ahio, sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart, and they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, with the Ark of God. And Ahio went before the Ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord with all their might, with songs, lyres, harps, tambourines, castanets, and cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to the Ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled and shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for touching the Ark, and he died there by the Ark of God. David was grieved and offended because the Lord had broken forth upon Uzzah, and that place is called Perez Uzzah, the breaking forth upon Uzzah, to this day. David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, "How can the Ark of the Lord come to me?" So David was not willing to take the Ark of the Lord to him into the city of David, but he took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the Ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite for 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. And it was told King David, "The Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the Ark of God." So David went and brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with rejoicing. And when those who bore the Ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed an ox and a fatling. And David danced before the Lord with all his might, clad in a linen ephod, a priest's upper garment. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the Ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. As the Ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, David's wife, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. They brought in the Ark of the Lord and set it in its place, inside the tent which David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. When David had finished offering the burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name and presence of the Lord of hosts, and distributed among all the people, the whole multitude of Israel, both to men and women, to each a cake of bread, a portion of meat, and a cake of raisins. So all the people departed, each to his house. Then David returned to bless his household. And his wife Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today, who stripped himself of his kingly robes and uncovered himself in the eyes of his servants' maids, as one of the worthless fellows shamelessly uncovers himself." David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord, who chose me above your father and all his house, to appoint me as prince over Israel, the people of the Lord. Therefore will I make merry in pure enjoyment before the Lord. I will be still more lightly esteemed than this, and will humble and lower myself in my own sight and yours. But by the maids you mentioned, I will be held in honor." And Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child to the day of her death. At first glance, this is a story of celebration. David and all Israel rejoicing, instruments playing, dancing before the Lord. Yet buried inside the celebration is a tragedy, Uzzah's death. Why? Because they placed the ark on a cart instead of carrying it on the shoulders of the priests, as God had commanded in the Torah. They copied the Philistine method instead of following God's method. David's worship was sincere, but the method was out of order. This is a sober warning to us. Sincerity in worship does not replace obedience. Emotional expression does not cancel holy order. When David later brings the ark again, he does it according to the word. The ark is borne on the shoulders, sacrifices are offered, and then he dances with all his might before the Lord, dancing in a linen ephod. The text highlights that David was clad in a linen ephod, a priestly garment. He laid aside his royal robes and identified with the worshipping priesthood. This offends Michal, who is still thinking in terms of royal dignity and public image. David's answer is powerful. "It was before the Lord, therefore will I make merry before the Lord." Here we see two heart postures. Michal looks from the window, distant, critical, concerned with appearances. David is in the streets, near the ark, abandoned in worship, honoring God's presence more than his own reputation. Only one of them understands the heart of worship. In other passages from the historical books, dating back to an early period, ephod probably means a garment set apart for the priest. In 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 18, the 85 priests of Nob are designated as men that did wear a linen ephod, ephod bad. In this passage, the Septuagint omits the word bad, and if this omission is correct, the passage might be explained as referring to the wearing of the ephod by the priests. The word bad is also omitted in the Septuagint, in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 18, where it is said that Samuel was girded with a linen ephod, and likewise in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 14, which relates how David, girded only with a linen ephod, danced before the Lord. Here, certainly reference must have been made to a species of garment worn only by the priest on ceremonial occasions, but even this passage gives the reader no idea of what its appearance was. For those with less background, we can say it this way. The ephod is not a casual shirt. It is a priestly garment. David is not undressing to be less holy. He is, in a sense, laying aside royal pride to step into priestly humility. True worship strips us of our pride, but clothes us with priestly identity. In Messiah, Yeshua, we are called a royal priesthood. Our dance, our song, our bowing, our tears are priestly acts before the throne of God. To dance worship before the Lord in truth, we must have purity of heart, deal with any sin in our hearts, and repent. Have a spirit of humility. Have a spirit of submission to the will of God. Have a spirit of obedience. Have a spirit of commitment. Have a sense of wonder of who He is, and have a sense of awe in His presence. Have an awareness of God's presence and be overwhelmed by His majesty. Be speechless in His presence and allow Him to speak to us. This is the true sacrifice that we saw when Abram went up the mountain with Isaac, giving your all. It does not matter what your neighbor in church does or says. It is you and you alone before God. We can expand each of these points. To have purity of heart means more than looking good on the outside. It means allowing the Ruach HaKodesh to search us, to cleanse hidden motives, to wash away bitterness, lust, pride, and idolatry. A pure heart is not a perfect heart, but a heart continually brought to the cross, to the blood of the Lamb. To deal with any sin in our hearts and repent means we do not dance around our sin while dancing in the sanctuary. We confess, we turn, we seek forgiveness. Worship without repentance is performance. Worship with repentance is transformation. A spirit of humility and a spirit of submission to the will of God means we do not demand that God bless our plans. We lay our plans at His feet. Like David taking off his royal robes, we take off our titles, our rights, and we say, "Hineni, here I am, Lord." A spirit of obedience and a spirit of commitment reminds us that worship continues after the music stops. Our dance before the Lord on Shabbat or Sunday must match our walk before the Lord on Monday. Commitment is lived out in faithfulness, in covenant loyalty, in doing what He says, even when we do not feel like it. A sense of wonder and awe in His presence, being overwhelmed by His majesty, and being speechless in His presence, points us to the mystery of standing before a holy God. There are moments in worship where words fail, where all we can do is stand, kneel, or dance in silence, letting Him speak, letting His presence minister deeper than any sermon. True worship is not about us, but it is all about God. We cannot worship God in truth with sin in our lives or if there is self-will in our hearts, because it is about God's will for us and not the other way around. Jonah chapter 2, verse 8, Amplified Bible. Those who pay regard to false, useless, and worthless idols forsake their own source of mercy and loving kindness. Idols are not only carved statues. They are anything we place above God, our comfort, our image, our traditions, even our style of worship. When we cling to idols, we forsake our own source of mercy. Real freedom in worship comes when we tear down our idols and exalt Messiah alone. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 to verse 7, Amplified Bible. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, the only Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your mind and heart and with your entire being and with all your might. And these words which I am commanding you this day shall be first in your own minds and hearts. Then you shall whet and sharpen them so as to make them penetrate and teach and impress them diligently upon the minds and hearts of your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. Here we see the foundation of all worship, the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one, and we are called to love him with all that we are. This love is not vague emotion. It is covenant loyalty, lived out in daily life, taught to our children, spoken in our houses, lived out in our rising and lying down. Dancing before the Lord is beautiful, but it must flow from a life that loves God with heart, soul, and strength. Psalm 150, New International Version, 1984, copyright 1984. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with tambourine and dancing. Praise him with the strings and flute. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Psalm 150 opens wide the gates of praise. Trumpets, harps, strings, flutes, cymbals, tambourines, dancing. This is loud, joyful, embodied worship. Here we see that dancing is not a modern invention. It is biblical. Yet even this exuberant praise takes place in the sanctuary and the heavens, within the context of God's holiness. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Our focus is not on the dance itself, but on the one we dance before. Psalm 96, verse 10 and verse 11, King James Version. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Psalm 145, verse 10, God's Word Translation. Everything that you have made will give thanks to you, O Lord, and your faithful ones will praise you. Creation itself praises the Lord. The heavens rejoice, the earth is glad, the sea roars. If creation does not stay silent, how can we? As faithful ones, we join the song of creation, lifting our voices, our instruments, our hands, and yes, even our feet, in praise. We dance not for the crowd, but before the Lord, who reigns and who will judge in righteousness. Beloved, when we talk about dancing before the Lord, we are really talking about a lifestyle of ordered, surrendered, joy-filled worship. David, clothed in a linen ephod, leaping and whirling before the ark, gives us a picture of what it means to forget ourselves and remember only God. Yet that dance came after the order was corrected, after the ark was carried God's way, after sacrifice was offered. Freedom in worship is not rebellion against order. It is the fruit of obedience to God's order. As messianic believers, we stand at a beautiful intersection. We honor the roots of our faith in the Torah, the prophets, and the writings, and we rejoice in the fullness of revelation in Messiah Yeshua. The same God who commanded that the wood be laid in order on the altar is the God who poured out his spirit in the upper room. The same God who warned Israel against doing what was right in their own eyes is the God who now writes his Torah on our hearts, our dance, our song, our liturgy, and our spontaneity all come under His Lordship. Maybe you find yourself tonight more like Michal, watching from the window, hurt, critical, cautious, worried about appearances. Maybe worship has become more about how it looks than who He is. Or perhaps you have drifted into a kind of spiritual chaos, where every man does what is right in his own eyes, and you feel the confusion in your own heart. The good news is that Yeshua, our King and High Priest, calls you back into order, back under His loving rule, back into the joy of His presence. I want to invite you to bring your whole self before the Lord, your mind, your emotions, your body, your history, your wounds, your hopes. Lay your life upon the altar in order, as Abraham laid the wood in order. Ask the Ruach HaKodesh to search your heart, to expose idols, to wash away compromise. And then, as He leads you, step into the freedom of praise. Lift your voice, lift your hands, maybe even lift your feet in a holy dance before Him. Not for show, not for performance, but before the Lord, as David said. Let us become a people who worship in spirit and in truth, rooted in Scripture, aligned with God's order, filled with the Spirit, and overflowing with joy. Let our homes, our congregations, and our personal lives reflect the Shema, loving Adonai our God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our strength. And may our worship, whether in stillness or in dance, always point to the One who sits upon the throne, the Lamb who was slain, our King, our Messiah, our soon-coming Bridegroom. Amen.
Be sure to share the podcast on your favorite social media channels.